Father, I thank you for this day. What a great day. Father, what a great day that we can come and join together. Father, that we can worship you. Father, I thank you that your word, Father, would be a revelation. It would open eyes today, Father, to places that we have not seen or heard or understood. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, you just revealed truth today. I thank you, Father, for lives grabbing hold of it and understanding it and changing with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Okay, we are wrapping up our series called Faith It or Faith It Until You Make It. And it's all about God has given us this substance called faith. The day you received Jesus, and really in order to receive Jesus, it was his faith. And he has put faith inside of you. It's a substance called faith. And faith comes by, y'all should be yelling at that, hearing the word of God. And that could be when you read the word of God, a promise that you find in your Bible, or instruction you find in your Bible, or even commands you find in your Bible. And the Bible says as you read this, it will produce faith. Amen. Week two, this is your fast forward recap. Here we go. Week two, we talked about what our faith can do. You know, it's so funny. I was thinking about, you know, you go look at a car, and if you're a race car guy, and you want to know, what can this car do? Better yet, how fast can this car go? Well, you should ask this about faith. What does faith do for me? And week two, we talked about faith can push the enemy out. And by the way, who figured out you have an enemy? Yep, he is still on the planet. So we found out we can, with our faith, we can push the enemy out. And the great part is we can receive God's blessing. So that was week two. And last week, we talked about we can obey God with our faith. We can obey God with our faith. So by faith, we can step out and do the things God has told us to do or asked to do or you read in the Bible. All right. Now you're all caught up. This is the last week. Here we go. Week four. If you're taking notes, I haven't figured out a title. So when we finish, if you got a really cool title, go up to the sound booth and they'll record it. It's like, I don't know. But today, I want to talk about two things. Especially after this past year, okay? And for some of you, it was a doozy. So today I want to talk about our faith we can wait patiently. With our faith, we can, everybody say we can, wait patiently. And we're really referring to Jesus coming back. And it was really interesting, you know, when you say that, it's like, rah, 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 rah. But you read Jesus at the very last, he's, you know, the last chapter in Matthew, and the last thing, he says this, this, and this, and then he says, I'm coming back, right? So he's coming back. So we can wait patiently for him to come back. And let's say we leave the earth early, we can wait patiently for that. So I want to talk about that. And the second thing I want to talk about is our faith can endure hardships. And nobody likes to talk about that. But if you are older, like better yet, if you've been around the block once, you have lived through some hardships. And we encounter these hardships, and yes, we pray, and yes, we push the enemy back, and yes, we put up our sword, and yes, we put up our shield of faith. Yes, we do all of that, but sometimes there's time that goes until we get through. So I want to talk about what do you do when you run into a tough spot, a hardship, and it takes a while. What it takes a while, all right? So here's my main idea. I always like to dish this out. Occasionally I just don't, but I do today. Main idea, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, you should write this down because it'll do you good. Ready? Here we go. We can know the character of God. We can know the character of God, okay? And better yet, when we know the character of God, we can endure. Did they put that up there? Oh, you guys are so good. We can endure earth's chaos. That's just a fluffy way of saying you can get through tough stuff, all right? So here's the thing. You have to know it. And sometimes you can say, I know that on a piece of paper. But when it goes from here to here, What's that called? Understanding it. So when you know and you understand the character of God, it will help you in every area of your life that you are venturing in faith. So that's what I hope today to do, is just bring this really real into your life, that you will know and understand the character of God. Now, when I say the character of God, what's probably the first thing you think about God's character? Love, right? Love. God is love, so that's his character. But here's one of the biggies that I think is really foundational after that. He has promised never to leave you or forsake you. And you know, sometimes in hardships, you think he jumped out of the boat and you're there by yourself. So you need to know this character of God. Yes, he is love, but the second part is he promised never to leave you or forsake you. And here's the other part. He promises he will walk you through it. Okay? He promises. And that's part of his character. And we can understand where it gets here. I'm telling you, you will be able to endure the chaos of this earth. So that's what we're going to talk about. So I got to thinking about thinking, and I was thinking about my parents. They grew up during the Great Depression, which was 1929 to 1933, something like that, okay? And they were actually 10 years, both my parents were about 10 years old till they finished, till the Great Depression ended, all right? And if you were a Christian, listen to this, and my parents weren't back then, but if you were a Christian during that time, there was no way to get out of it. It just swept across the country, this Great Depression, okay? And you can read about it or go ask your great-grandparents if they're still alive, okay? And you had to learn how to endure through it, and it's really nice to learn how to endure through it with joy. So my parents lived through this Great Depression, and my dad never really talked about it, but my mom did. My mom was from California, and I remember these stories, and I wish she was alive, because now I would love to ask her some questions. But I remember her telling me that her grandparents moved in with them during the Great Depression. And I remember my mom saying, you know, my mom was this lean bean, and she was always hungry, and her grandmother would say, "Oh, I'm full. Give it to Barbara." That was my mom. Because I'm sitting here thinking, you've got an extra family that's living with you. It's the Great Depression. There is not an abundance, okay? There was not an abundance. They lived through the Great Depression. And because they lived through the Great Depression, it affected how they raised us, because it affected them. So I remember the first time I went out to a restaurant. I was probably sixth grade, maybe seventh grade, was the very first time I went out to a restaurant. And it was not because my dad did not have a good job, okay? It was because of a different mindset my parents had, okay? Any of you my age and young and old, like whatever that means, okay? Any of y'all remember not going out to restaurants, okay? Yeah, we didn't go out to restaurants. I know, secretly. First date, you went to a restaurant. Yeah, was Dave taking you? No. Okay. He wasn't there yet, okay? So one of the reasons, because they had lived through this Great Depression, and also the reason why we wouldn't go to restaurants, it was expensive, but they also had a different mentality. These people that had lived through the Great Depression, my parents did, and they had walked through it. And I remember this the first time we went out. My mom and dad's friend came in from out of country. She was living in one of the islands, and she came back, and she wanted to take us all out to dinner. And we went to the best Italian restaurant, little tiny place in the town right next to us, and I sat next to my mom. One, I didn't know anything about a menu. Like they dished out menus and I didn't know what to do. So I am listening to my mom, I'm watching my mom, and I overhear her whisper to my dad, and it goes something like this: "John, can you believe they're going to charge $4.50 for a plate of pasta? John, I could feed the whole family." Some of you who are young are going, "What?" Okay, but listen, the Great Depression impacted their lives. Okay, and I have to laugh. I think it impacted me the way we raised me, because we have a saying, the girls in my family, "I'd rather skip a meal and go buy shoes." Because if you want to get something more important, it's not a meal, but some of you guys don't get it. Okay. So anyway, so here we have a group of people that lived through the Great Depression, and it didn't matter how much you loved Jesus. It didn't matter how strong your faith was if you were a believer. It didn't matter. You learned to endure it. Amen? So I'm going someplace with this. So that's the Great Depression. But today on this planet, there are people that are enduring things, okay? And they're enduring it with joy. And Tammy just loaned me a book by Heidi Baker. She might let you borrow it. She doesn't write in her book, so it was really hard for me not to write all over it, okay? I was like, ugh! Heidi Baker and her husband Roland have been in the country of Mozambique. That's in Africa somewhere. I'll look, okay? And the book talks about this compelling love, but she gives story after story after story after story of enduring hardships with faith because God called them there, and the joy and the love. So I gave the book back to Tammy rather 2 weeks ago. I said, this book wrecked me. It's one of those, you gobble it up, and then you have to, halfway through, you have to put it down, and you just cry. And it really spoke to me about enduring hardship by faith and with joy. And then the result, the harvest that's going on. And somebody posted that there's something going on in Mozambique right now, something yucky, terrible, so keep praying for them. Just really bad. Okay, so by faith, we can endure hardships, and I want to talk about what that looks like to endure hardships. Okay, so in order to endure, we have to understand the character of God, okay? And one of the number one things is God will never leave you. Everybody say, God will never leave me. God will not forsake me. And he will walk through with me. Okay, this part you don't have to report, but he will walk through the fire with you. He'll walk through the valley with you. He'll walk through the deep waters with you. He will be with you, and that's part of his character. And when you know that, and you are walking through some tough times, and it's taken long, and it's taken long, and it's taken long, you can endure that when you know the character of God. So important, so important. All right, so open up to Isaiah. Here's a really cool scripture. Of course, every scripture in the Bible is cool, but I say that anyway. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. When you go through the deep waters, he says, get this, I will be with you. Now, he is not talking about you being on a cruise ship. That is not what he's talking about, okay? It's a picture of somebody in the ocean and the waves, and they're barely treading water, okay? It's a picture about somebody in that kind of circumstances, and they feel like they're alone. They feel like they're going under, and God says, I will be with you. Again, the character of God. So the next part says, when you go through rivers of difficulties. All right, so just picture some raging river, okay, and it's sweeping you down, and you're going under, and you're tossing and turning, okay? It says, you will not drown, all right? So what is he saying to you? No matter what you're going through, no matter what the river is, no matter how deep the water is, no matter how crazy the world has dished out things, he's saying, listen, it will not make you bitter. It will not make you angry. It will not make you fearful. It will not destroy you because he says, because I'll be with you. And I'm telling you, even aside from last year, I have watched people just get swept away because they didn't know God was with them. As a matter of fact, do you ever hear people say, and I'm mad at God? I'm like, stupidest thing you can say, the worst thing you can say, okay? You know, I'm mad at God. But listen, he says, I'm with you, all right? So he says, I'm with you. So let's listen to that last part. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burnt up. The flames will not consume you. Okay, so we've got oceans, we've got rivers, we've got fires, and all God is saying over and over and over is, I will deliver you. Whatever's going on in your life, how bad it is, you think it's hopeless, God is saying, I will deliver you, all right? So yes, he's saying, use your sword of the Spirit. Yes, he's saying, push the enemy back with the word of God. Yes, he's saying, keep your shield of faith up. He's saying all of that. But sometimes while you're waiting, and it's taken a long time, it's a long time, it is longer. Like I wanted it done. Somebody asked me something. He said, when do you want it done? I said, I wanted it yesterday. I did. Okay. And you know, sometimes we need to learn in the fires of life, fires that are going on, that God promised that he'd be with you, he wouldn't forsake you, and he'd walk through there. So let me throw a Bible story at you. It's an Old Testament Bible story. Turn over to Daniel chapter 3. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One of my favorite ones to do with kids downstairs. So much fun, all right? So we have these three Hebrew children, all right? And and what has happened is Israel has been defeated, conquered by Babylon. And Babylon has come into Israel, defeated them, and he's taken slews of their people out of their country, their home, and they've taken them to Babylon, where they are not just sitting around the pool. They are now servants, okay? They are servants in another country. So here we are, and we're going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's where they are right now. And then we've got this king, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he is terrible. He is bad, at least in the beginning, okay? The first couple of chapters, he is just rotten through and through. And he goes, and he's got this brainiac idea, I'm going to make this enormous statue out of gold, and I'm going to parade it down the street, and everybody must bow down and worship it. Everybody must worship this statue. So the statue comes down the street. Our three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not bow down and worship it. How many of you know the story? Okay, they do not bow and worship him. And word gets back to the king. Somebody ratted on him and said, oh, king, there's these three Israelites, these Hebrew children that will not bow down. So he calls them in, he confronts them, and he says, hey, you guys need to bow down and worship this statue. And they say, sorry, king, with all due respect, we know you're the king, but we will not bow down to worship anybody except for our God. All right, so that's what's going on. And the Bible says he became so angry, just flipping out, and he says, tie him up and throw him into the fiery furnace, right? And they go, so they're all ready to get tied up. That's what he's declared they're going to do. And they go, oh, king, you know, with all due respect, we know you're the king, but we believe that our God will rescue us. We believe our God will deliver us. And if he doesn't, we still are not going to bow down to this statue because we only worship the one true God. So again, the king just gets furious, and he has his soldiers tie him up. And the Bible says he gets so angry, the king, and he says, turn up the flame 7 times hotter. I wonder what that looked like. You know, do you press a button? But and the soldiers are throwing Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego into the fiery furnace. And the Bible says that it was so hot that the soldiers died. All right? So here we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're in the fiery furnace, okay? And the king's sitting there going, yay, yay, barbecue. That wasn't nice, was it? I'm sorry. I just had to say that. It was so cute. Okay. All right. Open up your Bibles. Let's go that way. Open up your Bibles. Daniel chapter 3. Here we go. Daniel 3, verse 24. So the king has thrown them in, and he goes, but suddenly King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them in the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did, they replied. All right. Okay, next verse. Okay, I was going to say something. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. So there's a lot of Bible scholars that say it's Jesus. Others say it's angels. But what's really interesting is the king goes, wait a minute. These guys that I tied up are no longer tied up, and they're walking around, and there were three guys that I threw in, and now there's four guys. And he is just amazed, and he yells in, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. So they come out, and the king is not only amazed that they're alive and there was a fourth person, but the Bible says that they didn't smell like smoke, their clothes weren't burnt, their hair wasn't burnt. It sounds like a message from God. What do you think, right? So the king says, after all of this, he says, you know what? From now on, nobody will be able to speak evil against their God, all right? And if they do, I'm going to tear their limbs off. Such a nice guy, right? Okay? But here's the cool part. At the end of it, the king goes to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he says, I am now going to promote you. Okay? So what's God saying to us? There are times you are going to walk through the fires of life. There are times that you are going to be thrown to storms and just crazy things. But I'm telling you, the character of God says, I will walk with you through it. How many of you have had God walk you through some horrible things? And but you knew he got you, right? He walked you through it, all right? So not only will he walk you through it, okay, but when you get through it, you're going to grow. You're going to grow spiritually. You're going to grow, and I'm telling you, you have a story to tell somebody else. And some of you guys, I know your stories, and you're big on telling each other like that. So he will walk you through it. He will cause you to grow spiritually, and your faith will grow. And you grow on the inside. It's this thing, this inside where you're not, where you're full of joy. You're full of peace because you knew the character of God. You watched God walk you through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have had a few fires that I've walked through with the Lord. It's just wonderful. It's not wonderful when you're in the middle of it, though, I will be honest, okay? But as long as you know the character of God, you just know you're going through. So let me give you a New Testament story. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, I mean, he had an encounter with Jesus, and he hit the ground running. And everywhere he went, he would tell people about God, how he loves you, and what Jesus did for you. And he tells them about his story. And everywhere he goes, people are getting born again. Okay? They're coming to know Jesus. Okay? That's what's going on. But now he's got tons of people that are getting born again. They're coming to know Jesus. And now they stop worshiping idols. Okay, they stop worshiping idols, guys. And what that means is they stop buying idols. So what happens is there's this guy named Alexander in the Bible. In 2 Timothy, you can open up there. Alexander the coppersmith, guess what he made? Idols. And now all these people who used to buy from him are not buying from him. And the Bible says he was so furious at them that he violently attacked Paul and his team. Okay? But here's the next part. And we'll read it in a moment. And Paul said, and everybody deserted me. Everybody jumped ship. Like everybody that said to Paul, hey, Paul, we didn't sign up for this. Matter, we signed up for all the altar calls, but we didn't sign up for this. And the Bible says, he said, everybody deserted him. And here's the thing. I think Paul, matter of fact, I know, Paul learned what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego learned. Paul learned that even if you're thrown into the fire, that God would walk you through it. And so open up to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 17. Praise God. Don't you? It's just so good to know the character of God. Yes, he is love, but man, he is not jumping ship. He'll always be with you and he will walk through you. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. This is what Paul says. After everybody deserted him, okay? But he's learned a few things. Listen to what he says. But Jesus stood with me and gave me strength. so that I might preach the good news in its entirety to all the Gentiles to hear. In the last part, and he rescued me from certain death. The King James, I liked what it says, and I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. Praise God. So he learned a valuable lesson. Jesus will walk me through, right? So it doesn't matter what you got yourself into or find yourself into. He said, I am no longer alone. My Jesus walked me through. And then the last part he says, and he delivered me. So here you got Alexander the coppersmith who's trying to kill him. And then you've got Jesus who strengthened him and delivered him out of that. It's just wonderful. So when you know the character of God, you can endure the junk, right? Amen? And I believe that's really why Paul wrote, what is it, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He found that out. He learned that. He watched it. He lived that. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So the interesting thing is when you read that, you're like, oh, yeah, Pastor D, I know that. I can do all things to strengthen me. But you got to read the verses above, because the verses above, Paul goes, hey, I have learned how to be hungry. I have learned how to have nothing. And then I've learned how to have everything. Okay, and then he concludes, but I can do everything through Jesus who strengthens me, who walks through me, who will bring me through. So praise God, because we know he's never going to leave us, all right? Now, I've lived just long enough to learn a few things. You know, I go to bed at night, I think my famous statement is, you know, I am a day older and a little smarter. And some nights I go to bed and I realize there are just some problems you're going to run into life. They're just there, okay? You're going to run into them, and darn, they take longer than I want, okay? So you're going to run into problems. You're going to run into problems. Look, 2020, we ran into problems with this pandemic for a year plus, okay? And it is taking longer. It's getting better and stuff. But I may run into problems, but I am not going to let it change me. And the only way you will be able to do that is when you know the character of God, okay? When you know the character of God, you can say, this is not going to change me. This is not going to make me bitter. This is not going to make me mad at God. This is not going to get me destroyed and quit, okay? But when you know the character of God and you are walking through things and it's still taking longer, it is not going to change me. As a matter of fact, this is when you know you have the faith and the victory. In the middle of the long walk, I have peace and I have joy. I didn't always score 100% on the test on those things, okay? There have been times I have just, okay? But the more that I get solid in knowing that my God is with me, he's for me, he'll walk through me, and I'm like in the middle of this, and I know what his word says, then I'm going to have joy, and I'm going to have peace, okay? And when you understand that, man, it just takes you through. So the Bible says that we can wait patiently, okay, for Jesus to come back or for us to go, all righty? But here's the thing. If you read, and that was your homework a couple weeks ago, read Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. Now, you read all these guys, and by faith they did this, and by faith they did this, and by faith they did this. But there's a bunch of them that endured patiently and never received the promise. I was like, what? Because you always read, oh, they did this by faith and this. But there's a whole bunch of them. There's a bunch of them. Okay, not a whole bunch. That never received their promise. Never received the promise. But they still waited patiently. That meant they still had joy. They still had a good attitude. All right. Now, give me a little example. I remember being 20, a long, long time ago in a far, far away place, and I wasn't married. I just met Jesus. I wasn't married, and this was my prayer. Lord God, I know you're coming back soon, but could you please wait till I get married? Please, Lord, don't come back yet. Anybody pray that prayer? Don't raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so the rest of you lied, all right? Or else you're already married, all right? It was like, Lord, the world's not that bad yet, So you need to just hold on. Because, you know, I got people that I need to say, you know, bring them to Jesus. So please, please, no. So I wanted to get married. Now, then your prayer changes. You get married and you go, Lord, this is fun. Could you just hold off a while? And then your next prayer is, Lord, could you wait till we have kids? And then your next prayer is, Lord, could you wait? Hold back. Don't come back yet because I want to enjoy these kids. And then they hit teenagers and you're like, Lord Jesus, come back, right? But then you grandparents, you ready? Lord, wait till I can become a grandparent so I can enjoy these, okay? So those are my evolution of prayers, and some of you too, right? I can tell. But now if you're young and you don't got any things going on in your body, you know, you're like, Lord Jesus, you know, I'm waiting for you to come back. Yes, I want you to come back. I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, Lord, the earth isn't that bad, so you can just wait. Young people, all right? But just recently, it was probably about a month ago, I was talking to this dear saint, believer, and they're in their late 90s, and they have just really had a hard life. They got some big things going on, and they've been going through so much. And yes, they are looking forward. That you should hear their prayer. They are looking forward to Jesus come back, or they're looking forward to checking out of this earth, okay? And I totally get that. I do get that. I get that. And some of you that are young, you're like, eh, it's not that bad. You can wait, Lord Jesus, okay? But let me give you a Bible scripture. Romans chapter 8. Turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Let me show you what the Bible says about this. Kind of answers you. Ready? Romans 8, verse 18. Romans 8, 18. First, let me give you the background. Paul is writing to believers, people who have received Jesus. They've had their life turned just wonderful, and they are being persecuted for their faith. They are being taken out of their houses. Their goods are stolen. They've been thrown in jail. Some are being thrown into the lions. AKA they are being persecuted, okay? So this is what they say. Yet we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will give us later. He's talking about these are people that are being persecuted, and they're saying it's nothing compared to the glory we'll give us later. And verse 19, for all creation is the animals and the birds and everything, everything there, okay? And it says, all creation is waiting patiently and hopeful for the future day when God will resurrect his children, okay? You know why he wrote that? Because someday there's a new heaven and a new earth and a new order, and it says every knee is going to bow and declare Jesus. Every government's going to say Jesus is Lord, and it is going to be awesome, all right? It is going to be awesome, right? So, but let's read the next, jump down to verse 23. Here we go. And even we Christians, these are those guys that are being persecuted. Even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, we groan to be released from the pain and suffering. All right? So what all they're saying is, hey, we're looking forward to Jesus coming back. All right? And the rest part of that verse says, we too wait anxiously for the day when God will give us our full rights as his children, including new bodies. I don't know what size I'm up to. Like size 6, right? New bodies he has promised. New bodies that never get sick again and never die, all right? So all he's saying is, they're saying is, we can wait. We can wait and we can endure. They were being persecuted terribly. We can wait, we can endure, because we know that God is going to walk us through it and we have something better coming, all right? And then, you know, this endure hardships. Okay, so we can wait and we can endure, all righty? So turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. I have to teach these two, so you can wait and you can endure. You can endure and you can wait. And let me tell you how it goes. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is anytime you're being attacked, okay? Anytime you're just going through troubles, all right? And the whole idea is while you're going through them, you can be able to stand. Stand. You're going through it, okay, but stand. Okay, the rest of it says, having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. That means you prayed. That means you took your sword and you spoke God's promises. That means you took your shield of faith and you got in faith. That means you just declared. That means you pushed the enemy back, okay? That means you're doing everything. You're standing. There's something you do. There's standing, okay? Standing. And then the rest of it says, having done all to stand, stand therefore, all right? Then he goes through and he lists parts of the armor of God, all righty? But why does he say stand therefore? Why does he say stand therefore? Well, that's because nothing changed. Now, yes, you prayed. Yes, you pushed the enemy back. Yes, you did this, but nothing changed. So he's saying, keep standing, all right? Now, it doesn't mean it's not going to change. It just means it hasn't changed yet. So how many of you have done, pushed the enemy back, spoken God's word, have your faith up, prayed, and you haven't seen it yet? I'm the only one that has a not yet? All right, haven't seen it yet. And what is he saying? Stand. Stand, okay? So what do you do while you're waiting? Patiently, okay? Well, one, you have to understand the character of God, that God is with you, that God will not forsake you, that God will walk you through. You have to understand that God's going to deliver you from every evil work. You have to understand that. That's what you do when you're waiting. None of us quit, right? That's somebody else. But while you're standing, understand the character of God. He's with me. He's walking me through this. I'm going to be delivered. I thank you. You have already delivered me, okay? Now, when you know that and you understand that, you will act a certain way. It'll change the way you act, all right? So turn over to Habakkuk. H-A-B-B-U-K-U. I think that's how you spell it. No, H-A-B-K-K-U-K. So funny. It's probably not a book that you read, but it's got these golden nuggets in Habakkuk, all right? So turn over to chapter 3, verse 17. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, all right? What do you do when you wait? What do you do when you wait? Ready? Even though the fig trees are all destroyed, and there's neither blossom left nor fruit, though the olive crops have all failed and the fields lie barren, even though the flocks die and the cattle barns are empty. Okay, he is talking to a bunch of farmers, people that have cows and horses. He's talking to an agricultural society, okay? And he's saying, you lose everything. Today, what would that look like? Oh, you lose your retirement. Oh, you lose your job. Oh, you lose your house. Oh, you lose your savings, okay? So that's how we would describe it today, all right? And then he goes on and says, I have learned the secret to trust the Lord. I have learned how to endure. So verse 18, here we go. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be happy in the God of my salvation. So what's he saying? I am taking my eyes off of this earth and all the things that have been stolen and I lost and they're terrible and this is going bad and gee whiz. And he takes his eyes off of that and he starts to look at heaven. That's how you do that. You look at heaven, okay? And then he says, I will rejoice. I will rejoice and I will be happy in the God of my salvation. And I think that's why Paul said in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, all right? Now, So this should be, I don't care what's going on. I mean, it's not that I'm not concerned. It's not that I'm not concerned what's going on in my life, what's going on in your life. It's not that I'm not concerned what's going on in the world. It's not that I'm not concerned what's going on in our nation. But no matter what's going on in this world, okay, I am not going to let it steal my joy, and I'm not going to let it steal my peace. Everybody say, steal my joy. Steal my peace, all right? Now, so I'm waiting. I'm not going to let it steal. I'm not going to let it steal my joy, my peace, and I'm not going to let it get me bitter. I'm not going to let it get me angry. I'm not going to let it get me into fear. I'm not going to let it destroy me. I'm not going to give into this. Instead, I'm going to say what God has done. All right? How about this? My God has rescued me. My God has saved me. My God has washed my sins away. My Jesus is coming back. My God says I'm going to heaven. I'm telling you, it's good. He's going to walk me through, all right? So, question. Everybody look straight ahead. What happens if it's your fault for the loss? What happens if you caused it? You did it. How many have ever done it? You caused the mess. I have caused a few messes. The fires that I've been in, okay? So we all have, all right? So what happens if you're the one that caused the trouble, okay? You sinned, you disobeyed, you did wrong. Okay, turn over to Lamentations. It's probably a book you read every day, right? Lamentations, all right? Listen to the answer. This is such a beautiful verse. It just gives you hope, all right? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 20. Lamentations 3:20. Okay? I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. You have to understand the story. He caused the loss. He caused it. He did it, okay? He caused the mess. So he says, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over the loss. But verse 20, here we go. Yet I still dare to hope, okay? So I hope you all walk out of here still daring to hope. Because if you know the character of God, you know that he's never left you. He's never forsake you. He will walk you through. He will deliver you. So I dare you to hope, all right? But the last part says, I still dare you to hope when I remember. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember. So what is he remembering so he can have hope? How about the character of God? My God is with me. My God did not leave me alone in this. My God is walking me through this, okay? So that's what he's remembering, the character of God. And then verse 22, the faithful love of the Lord never ends, okay? Listen, whether you're faithful to the Lord or you're not, he's always faithful. Okay, he's always faithful. He's faithful, and his love's never going to stop because you messed up. He's still going to love you when you're in the fire that you lit the fire, okay? He's going to walk you through the rivers. He is because he's faithful, all right? So again, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. All right. I loved when I finally understood mercy. Mercies is God going, hey, D, you blew it. You did it. But, this is a good time to put the but in there, but I'm still with you. I am going to pull you out of this and get you to the place because that is my mercy. How many of you like mercy? Man. Love it. Okay. And verse 23. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Okay. So what if you blow it? What if you're the one that sinned? What if you're the one that just got yourself in the middle of it? This verse says, you know what? I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, ta-da, and God's going to say, my mercies are new for you today. I'm still walking you through this. I'm going to pull you out of this, okay? And I'm going to be faithful to you. Amen. So if I, and listen, some days it looks like 1 hour into the day and I'm going, God, your mercies are still new for me because my mouth did something, all right? How about just raise your hand and say, thank you, God. Thank you for your faithful love. Thank you, you have mercies when I have made the mess. Thank you that you redeem my life from destruction. Thank you, God, that you walk me through. Thank you, God, that your love just surrounds me. Thank you that you strengthen me. Thank you that I have got a story that's just going to be glorious. Amen? So, guys, you need to understand and know the character of God so that you can endure the hardships the way that God wants you to, okay? Now, you just got to know that sometimes life gets hard, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you lay down there and take it. because I'll come and get you. All right? It doesn't mean that you don't pray. It doesn't mean that you don't get into the Word of God and stay in the Word of God and stay in the Word of God and declare God's Word. It doesn't mean you don't do that. It means you do all of that, okay? But what happens if it takes a little longer to get through the fire, to get through your troubles, to get through whatever junk is going on in your life? What do you do? Well, number one, you need to know the character of God, that God loves you, that He is faithful, that He will not desert you, that He is working. He's not sitting there coasting. He is working on your behalf, all right? And His mercies will never stop towards you, all right? So this is one of those, yay, Pastor D, that was such a beautiful, fun message, okay? But I really, I thought back on this past year, and I thought about my life, your life, the church life, some of you in your families and stuff, and we've endured. Last year, I just wrote a note to this girl, and I said, man, it was about change, and usually I'm kicking and screaming. I hate it, okay? But I, by about 30 days into it, yeah, right, Pastor D, it was probably a little longer, I had to say, God, I know You're going to walk us through this, okay? You're going to walk me through this. You're going to walk me through this, and I know because that's who You are. You're my God, all right? So let's pray. Father God, I thank You for what You're doing on this planet. I thank You for what You're doing in our nation. I thank You for what You're doing in my life. I thank You what You're doing in these incredible people's lives. I thank You, Father, that today we refocus, that You're our God and You are faithful and You never leave us and You're always with us and You'll walk us through these hard times, difficult times, things that we didn't even raise our hand for, things that have just taken way too long. I thank You. I thank You, Father, that as each one of us walk through whatever's going on, that we are being strengthened by You, Lord Jesus, because You are with us and You are moving through us. I thank You. Father, I just pray that You make this so real, Father, for everyone in this place, that they can see and they can know that this has been a doozy. And in this situation in my life, I did not mess up. It just came at me. But my God, my Savior, my one who is so faithful, I thank You that You are bringing me through it. And devil, I have a story to tell you, everyone, that how God defeated you and how I am walking in a victory. I am walking in a higher place. I thank You, Father, that You are doing that in everyone's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's many of you, I didn't tell you anything you didn't already know. And you already have your story. But I'm telling you, you need to be on the lookout for someone who's carrying the weight. And they're quitting. They quit, or you can tell by their body, okay? And would you tell them your story? Tell them about God who was faithful, that carried you through the worst of the worst and redeemed your life and brought you to something better, all right? So I challenge you, those of you that, Pastor D, that was a good review lesson. Woohoo! Okay? This is so to strengthen you to bring others to that place to get through, all right? And those of you that, you know, no guilt, no shame if you caused the mess. I have caused some messes, and I've cried out for mercy. I remember my son, he was probably in middle school, and I said, boy, Jesse, that's one prayer you're probably going to wear out. Just call on the mercy. Call on God's mercy. Because he was making dumb decisions, okay? The principal calls you up for some dumb junior high thing, you know? And I said, Jesse, just pray the mercy prayer. Pray the mercy prayer. And then I said to Jack, I said, I think he might be the first person to wear it out. Okay, it's okay. Go wear it out. You can't wear it out. The mercies of God are new every morning. Amen. Well, stand up. Praise God. You know, I thought this is Memorial Day. We remember those that have given their life for our freedom. And I have had the pleasure and the honor to travel to different countries. And I'm telling you, you may not like everything. Some things might drive you up the wall. But we live in one of the greatest nations on this planet. And it is not by accident that we get to live with this liberty and this freedom. People paid a price. But there's somebody who paid a price for you to live in freedom and liberty, and his name is Jesus. So let's just thank him again. Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying for us to let us live now and forever in a freedom, in a glorious high place as more than conquerors. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, you're dismissed. If you would like prayer for anything, I've got some elders that'll be up front. We'd love to pray with you and agree with you. Go over there and give Marcio and Nancy a hug because they're taking off to the Dominican Republic. And Mindy Schaaf's birthday's today. Woohoo! Reason why you should come to birthday.